We turn to Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, but in order to appreciate Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, we have to go back to the original Kasha of the Gemara and the Braisa on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph. And we're looking at the Braisa, which is about 10 lines up from the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph, a little bit more than 10.
Agonev Kis.
And that's quoted by Rabbi Barbaye. And we're going to focus first our attention on the Reisha. The Reisha says that he has to pay, the Ganav has to pay for the kiss, for the stolen wallet, because already at the time that he lifted it up and he did his Hagbah in the Rishus HaBailim, he was mischayev. At that point, he already was chayev for gneva. He hasn't yet incurred any sort of chiyuv for meleches hotzah. So meleches hotzah, which concludes with the hanocha, when the object, in this case the wallet, was taken out and placed in sarabim, is going to take place much later on. Already early in the game, so to speak, he lifted up the wallet in the Rishus of the Bailam, and he was mischayev as a ganav as a result of his kinyan gneva. And keep in mind, as we have emphasized yesterday, a ganav could be kone when he does hagbah, even Rishus Bailam. He doesn't have to take it out of that Rishus. So for the meleches hotzah, we have to wait until he takes it out of the Rishus, but the chiyuv gneva was already signed and sealed at the point of hagbah Rishus Bailam. So the Gemara is not happy with this, because we have a principle called Hagbah L'tzorech Hotzah. And this is the principle that we saw earlier in the Sugya Rav Chisda. In the Sugya Rav Chisda, which was on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph, but earlier on the page, we saw that in the case of a gonev chelbo shel chaver v'ochlo, so he lifts up the chelev, but he hasn't yet eaten the chelev. And the Gemara says that you should apply the principle of hagbol l'tzorech achila. And the answer is that no, that there are other ways of achieving this achila. So the hagbol is not part of the achila. However, if let's say he would absolutely need the Hagbah in order to set up the Achila, then Enoch Hinami, according to Rav Chisda, then we would apply the principle of Hagbah Litzorech Achila. And we gave a Hechetimtz, if you recall, that he bends down and he lifts up the Chelev and puts it into his mouth. That hagbah sachelev, in order to get it into his mouth, would be considered litzorech achila, and therefore he'd be potter from paying damages or replacing the chelev. The Gemara uses that same logic now and attacks Rav Chisda based on the ratio of this brisa, because in the case where he lifts up the gneva, that's exactly how he begins his hotzah. And therefore the Hagbah is Litzorech Hotzah. And this is going to lead the Sugya off on a whole different path over here. That somehow his original intention when he lifted up the kiss was not to take it out. He was going to somehow hide it under the planks in the wall. And it was what we call Almanas Latznio. And that's going to lead us to Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. And the whole Sugya of Anakira Shalal Manas Lahotzi. So we mentioned yesterday, if he was carrying around the furniture in his house from one corner to the other, and then he decides to take it out into the Rishus HaRabim, would not be chayv because he never did Anakira Al Manas Lahotzi. It was Nivlach, but it wasn't his original intention. And so again, what's pushing us here to all these very strange ukimtas in the Braisa of Rabibi is the fact that Lechora, we would have applied the principle of Hagbah Litzorech Hotzah, that he needs to lift up the wallet in order to take it out and place it down in Rishus Arabim. So therefore, at the moment of the Hagbah, he's already begun his Chiyuv Hotzah, and at that moment he should be Chayef Gneva for the Hagbah, but we have a din, a principle of Kim Levi the Rabbinine. And yet the Brice insists that he's Chayef for the kiss, and we're not going to apply the principle of Kim Levi the Rabbinine. And the question is, why not? Why not apply the principle of Hagbah Litzorech Hotzah? So what I want to add to this discussion is Tosfos. You know, we learn selected Tosfos, but this one I think maybe should be added to our study. So you'll see there are many Tosfos on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. If you take a look at the third before the end, Neima Hagbah Sorech Hotzahi. So again, this was the kasha, the attack of the Gemara. If Rav Chisda was operating with a premise that whatever you need to lift up the chalev and put it into your mouth is considered litzorech achila, and if it's litzorech achila, we would apply the principle of kimleiv neramine, why not apply that in the case of gonev kiss b'shavis, where his hagbah is litzorech hotzah? Tema. The Tosfos asks the following kasha. L'pirush Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, so now we're going to learn the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. What is Rabbeinu Tam's shita? Dehagbah kona pachos bishlosha tefachim. So we're not readily familiar with the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. So we'll accept it right now as axiomatic. Rabbeinu Tam holds that when you lift up an object for the purpose of kinyan, in order to acquire ownership, you need not lift it up three tefachim off the ground. Again, exactly what's the minimum hagbah, I don't know. Maybe it's a tefach, but it's not three tefachim. So now Tosfos says, I have an attack on Rabbeinu Tam. Why? Because our Gemara assumes that Hagbah is Litzorech Hotzah, and therefore the Hagbah itself, when he lifts up the wallet, is already the beginning of Melechas Hotzah. My Baruch, what kind of question is that? Hakeva de Kana Kodem Haschola Sakira. As soon as he lifts up the wallet in Rishus Bailim for the purpose of stealing it, he made a kinyan on it, because Rabbeinu Tam holds a kinyan would be even pachos mishloshet tefachim. But akira lo havya achi agvia shlosha. But with regard to Melechas Shabbos, you can't be chayev for less than shloshet tefachim. Why? Because we have a principle in Hilchas Shabbos called lovud. Lovud means that the karka, the ground, goes up all the way till three tefachim. So for the Akira, which means you took it off the ground and you begin the Malacha of Hotzah, that can only be possible when you raise the object above three tefachim. Hence, and this is Tosfos' Kasha, the Braisa is crystal clear. Why does the Braisa insist that he's chayav for the Geneva? Because he already was chayav for the Geneva at the moment of Kinyan. He hasn't even begun his Akira until he lifts the object above three tefachim. Rabbeinu Tam holds the kinyan could be accomplished lower than three tefachim. And yet the akira will only begin when he raises it above three tefachim. So how could we possibly understand the kushan of the Gemara's kasha? The Gemara is applying the principle of Hagbah Litzorech Hotzah. Hagbah Litzorech Hotzah means that at the moment of Hagbah, I begin my Hotzah. That's not true. At the moment of Hagbah, which means Hagbah for Kinyan Gneva, I haven't yet even begun my Hotzah. Because the Akira requires that he lifts it above what? Above three tefachim. And yet he was already Magbia, lower than three tefachim. Because Rabbeinu Tam Shita says that you can be Kona with Hagbah even lower than three tefachim. the Omer Ashba, the Mashmale, it seems to the Gemara, Bechol Inyan Gonev Kiss, Afilu Munach Al Gavi Makel. In other words, the kiss was not necessarily on the ground itself, it was raised above the ground. The Rashba gives an example, it was hanging on a stick, or you could say it was a ledge, or it was a small closet, whatever it was on top. So immediately, when he lifts the kiss off the makel, above three tefachim, not only has he achieved at that split second a kinyan gneva, but he's also started his akira. Why? Because since the wallet was already lifted above three tefachim, then you don't have to lift it up another three tefachim. You don't have to have another three tefachim from above three tefachim. Now, let's say, for example, the wallet was sitting on a stool above three tefachim. In this case, you don't need an akira of another three tefachim above the stool. You just have to lift it up off this little bench. And at that split second, he achieves his kinyan hagbah. So that's called hagbah litzarech hotzah. So just to summarize, the structure of this tosfos is based on the following underlying premise, that hagbah litzarech hotzah, to set up kimle v'derabin, it would mean that there's got to be a simultaneity between your kinyan gneva and your akira hamachayeves b'hotzah. If there's an absolute sync between those two, then we apply the principle of kimleim in the rabbin. And Tosfos is operating; he's working overtime. How do we set this up according to Rabbeinu Tam in a way that there's an absolute sync between the kinyan gneva and akira machayevus in meleches hotzah? The only way you could do that is if the object, in this case the wallet, was already lifted above three tefachim. Therefore, the moment he does his akbah, he has done his akira as well. Do we have that? Now,
I'm sorry, technical point. Question. Tosfot starts with Neima, which I'm not finding in the text. Is that what they call Hakanami Leima, right after the Brayta?
Just one second. Vamai. Hochenami Lema, or he has Nema, we have Lema.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
So now I want to tell you that the Rush gives an alternative answer to this Tosfos. Tosfos coining the Rashba. This is not the Sephardic Rashba, this is the Ashkenazic Rashba, but the Rush has another answer. Says the Rush, Akiras Tefach. So let's say Kointer Rabbeinu Tam for the Hagbah as a Kinyan, all he needs is to lift it up one Tefach. So Tosfos asks, well, that's not going to be an Akira Hamachayevis in Hotzah. You need to lift it up three Tefachim. Says the Rush, Akiras Tefach, he litzorech Akiras Gimel Tefachim. The Efshal Akiras Gimel Tefachim below Akiras Tefach. Right, the whole premise of our sugya is the principle of Rav Chisda of litzorach, right? That if you put something in your mouth, let's say chalev, you don't have to pay the owner of the chalev because putting it into your mouth is litzorach achila, and the achila is an achila of kares. Here too, when you lift up the wallet one tefach, admittedly that doesn't qualify as an akira. We need an akira skivul tefachim. It does qualify as Hagbah, as far as Rabbeinu Tam is concerned, to generate a kinyan of Gneva. But, says the Rosh, how are you going to lift it up three tefachim unless you first lift it up one tefach? Similar to the case of Chalev, how do you eat the Chalev unless you put it into your mouth? So there's a little bit of Hagbah there, and at that moment, you've taken it from the owner of the Chalev, and you've begun your process of achila. Why have you begun your process of achila? Because you can't have an achila without lifting it up and putting it into your mouth. Says the Rosh, how can you get an akira of three tefachim without first lifting it up one tefach? You can't skip one tefach and go to the second tefach. So therefore we should apply the principle, and that was the underlying kasha of the Gemara, of Hagbal Litzarech Litzarech Hotzah. And why is the Hagbal Litzarech Hotzah? Because the Akira begins the moment he lifts it up. Again, he doesn't complete this Akira until he reaches three Tvachim. But he Efshal Akira's Gimel Tvachim below Akira's Tefach. And what boggled my mind was that I thought that Rush's answer was so simple and straightforward that I don't understand why the Rashbam Tosfos is working, you know, he's working overtime to come up with another answer that it was, where was the wallet? It was on top of a makel, it was already lifted three tefachim. Who needs it? Clearly the Akira's Tefach is Litzorech Akira, because there's no Akira's Gimel Tefachim without Akira's Tefach. So I have here a sefer called Mishkanos HaRoim, and he writes in the name of the Shita Mekubetzes. His name was Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi. He lived in Cairo 5.5 centuries ago. Hatam delo tirtzu Tosis ka Rush. Why didn't Tosis give the answer to the Rush? The Savri. Because Tosfos holds the Kevan the Sheefshar La Nocha below Agba the Ibai Garirle, he says the following, that Tosfos needs simultaneity. He needs that at the same moment in time you began your Akira Hamachayeves and you achieved your Kinyan. And that's impossible if the wallet is on the ground, because your Akira Machayevus has to wait till you reach three Tvachim and you've already implemented your Kinyan Hagbah with one Tefach according to Rabbeinu Tam. Elo, what are you going to tell me? Well, Efshar, I can't get to three Tvachim, as the Rosh points out, without first lifting it up one Tefach. So he says, well, on that I have a counter argument, because you don't have to lift it up at all. You can be chayav hagbah without even lifting up the object. You can leave it on the ground. Dibay garle, he can drag it. And if you drag something from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRavim, you'll be chayav. Again, I'm not sure if that's always the case, but certainly in many scenarios, in many situations, that is the case. So again, Rabbi Osai, this is the point that we can get to here. Obviously, Yosef Mimashikosov, there's a lot more here than what we did.
I'm sorry, another technical question. The Rosh was before Tosafot?
The Rosh was one of the Baliatosis. The Baliatosis span, I think it's about either 3 or 4 centuries of time. I'm not exactly sure.
Okay.
The Professor Auerbach, he's not alive anymore, but he wrote the, you know, the magnum opus on Tosfos called the Bali on Tosfos. I mean, it's a book this thick. Okay. So now we're on Daf Lamed Aleph Omid Beis. And the Gemara tells us that what happened here in this Brisa is that when he lifted up the kiss, when he lifted up this wallet, he had no intention of taking it out. He changed his mind later to take it out. And therefore, he's going to have to start a brand new Akira to replace the first Akira. In other words, when he originally lifted up the wallet, that would not be an Akira that is in any way conjoined with his Chiyuv Hotzah, because he had no intention to take it out. Later, when he decides to take it out, he replaces it with a new Akira. So as far as the first Akira is concerned, he's Chayav for Gneva. As far as the second Akira is concerned, he's Chayav for Shabbos. But there's no overlap between the two. The Gemara now goes into a whole discussion. How could it be that when he decides to take out the kiss, he violates an Issur Shabbos? That's called an Akira Shalo Litzarech Hotzah. And that's like the case where he drags a dresser or a piece of furniture from one corner to the other and back and forth until finally he decides to take it out. He's potter because his Akira was not an Akira Litzarech Hotzah. So the Gemara then comes up with a new Ukimta, that the Brisa is addressing a case of what's called Amad. Amad means the following. That in Enochinami, his intention when he lifted up the wallet was to take it out. But instead of taking it out, he stopped. And the moment he stops, he terminates his Akira, and he has to start with a new Akira. So he's not chayav for the original Akira because there was an Amida. So the Gemara says, what kind of an Amida was it? Was an Amida Lekatev, in which case he was just organizing in the way that he could continue walking with it and carrying it. That's called Orche, and that doesn't terminate his Akira. Or was it a case of an Omed Lofush? Omed Lofush means he wanted a rest, and he took a break, and that ends his original Akira, hence he needs a new Akira. So now the Gemara applies the principle of Liflog Velisni Bedida. If the Brisa wants to tell me that there's a difference between the Reish and the Sefer, and the Reish he's going to be Chayav for Gneiva, and the Sefer is Potter, the Brisa didn't have to stretch its arm out to Gorer V'yotze. The Brisa could have said Bedida in the case where he's carrying it. Well, he stopped short of leaving the threshold of the Rishus HaYoch and entering over the threshold into Rishus HaRam. He stopped short. Why did he stop short? Well, if he stopped short, Almanas, Lofush, then I understand he's chayav to pay for the Gneva by virtue of the first Akira. If on the other hand he was Omid Lekatev, so then he would be chayav because of the first Akira, hence we would apply the principle of Liflog V'nisli Dedido. So the Gemara therefore says that we should interpret our Brisa according to Ben Azai, and Ben Azai holds that Mahalik Ka'omid Domi, meaning every time you take a step and you put your foot down, you cancel and negate the original Akira and you start a new Akira. But in the case of Zrika, let's say for example a person picks up an object and he throws it for Amos, or he throws it out of Rishus HaYochid and it lands in Rishus HaRabim, then in such a case even Ben Azai would agree that there's no principle of Mahalik Ka'omid Domi, meaning there's one Akira, and therefore in such a case he should be Potter. So once again the Gemara applies the principle of Liflog V'Lisni B'Dida. I'm just reviewing what we did yesterday inside. And the Gemara answers no, that the reason why the Brisa introduces the case of Megar V'Yotze is for Chiddush. We would have thought, if not for the Brisa, that you're not Chayav for Shabbos in the case of Megar V'Yotze. That's not the way you carry something from one Rishus to the other. You lift it up and you carry it. But to drag it on the floor, that's called Ein Derech Hotzav V'Kach. And yesterday I mentioned at the end of Shir that with regard to the 39 Malachas, we have a principle of Meleches Machshevas. Malachas Machshevas means that you have to implement the malacha exactly the way it's done. The classic way it's done, if you do the malacha in an unusual way that people don't do it that way, then you're potter. That's called Ein Darko B'kach. Like, take for example, if a righty would write with his left hand. So in such a case, he would not be chayv for Malachas Ksiva, because Ein Derech Ksiva B'kach. Or even if he wrote with his right hand, but he put his right hand behind his back, and he started writing something on a piece of paper behind his back, that would also be Ein Derech Ksiva B'kach. And you can go through every single malacha and come up with Kedarko or Shalom Kedarko. Bishol, for example, what's considered Derech Bishol, what's not considered Derech Bishol. In the case of Hotzah, Derech Hotzah is to lift something up and carrying it out. And therefore it's Ein Derech Hotzah B'kach. All this is in the Havamim. The maskana, the final conclusion of the Brisa, Kamashmon, is that no, even Grera, even dragging something on the ground is considered Derech Hotzah. And if it's considered Derech Hotzah, he's chayav for the dragging. And again, he didn't make a kinyan adba because he never lifted up the wallet. So why is he chayav for Gneva? He's chayav for Gneva for removing it from the Rishus HaBailim. At that moment that he removed it from the Rishus HaBailim, he incurs a chiyuv hotzah because he took the object from Rishus HaYochid out into Rishus HaRabim, and that's considered derech hotzah, even though you and I would argue that greater is not considered derech hotzah. So now the Gemara is going to analyze three different cases of carrying something where it's natural or shall I say, it's anticipated that he would drag it rather than carry it. Ubimai. So this is what we're up to today. See, counting from the top of the omen, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines down from the top of the omen. Ubimai. How heavy is this wallet? Iber Ravrave, if it's a very large satchel, you know, it's like a knapsack and that's where he keeps his money. Urhehu, it's very natural for a person to drag it on the ground. It's very heavy. He's got a lot of things in there. I know everybody could ask themselves what their wives put in their pocketbook, but you know, I know at least one woman who puts lots of things in her pocketbook. I always offer to carry it for her because it's so heavy. So in such a case, you might want to be, you know, you're tempted to drag it. So the Gemara thinks in that case, it's clearly urche. That would be certainly qualify for a maleches hotzah. That's a normal way of carrying it if it's so heavy. V'ibizutre, if it's a small wallet, you know, like this wallet. So why would anybody put the wallet on the ground, you know, that's on the ground and start dragging it? That's lav urche. So there's no way that he could have incurred a chiyuv maleches hotzah. Ella says the Gemara, b'mitzeh. You know what? It's not too heavy. You know, this reminds me what was her name with the three bears? Goldilocks was her name, right? So, you remember Goldilocks?
Right.
So
something in the middle.
Right, something in the middle. So it's not mama bear, it's not baby bear, it's not papa bear, it's not mama baby bear, it's mama bear. Mama bear is the mitzvah. So it's a normal size. It's not 5 kilo, but it's not a half a kilo. It's 2.5 kilo. So 2.5 kilo, yeah, it's a bit of a schlep. So instead of carrying it, you drag it.
The Gemara's trying to find, what's the kiddush with the gorer?
Yeah.
And why would if it's I say, so big, then we wouldn't need the brighter, is what you're saying.
Exactly. If it was so big, then surely it's urche. I don't need the brighter for that. Again, the whole reason why there's no liflug velisni b'dida to differentiate between mahalach and zrika in the framework of Ben Azai is because we wanted to introduce a new chiddush here. You would think he's not even chayef for greira. I wanted to tell you chiddush and Shabbos that he's chayef for greira. Well, of course he's chayef for greira. Who would carry something that weighs a ton? You drag it, that's easier way of carrying. If it's so small, then anything nami would not be chayef. So how could the Brisa say he's chayef? The answer is it's middle of the road. You would have said that most people in this case, in this situation, would carry it. It's not so heavy. Kamash Malan, there are a number of people, we call them 30%, 40% of the population would drag it. That's enough to qualify as urkei, and therefore it's chayef from aleches hotzah. I have to take a second break to get something to drink. I apologize. Now the Gemara wants to investigate further the exact details of the case of the Brice. What exactly was the scenario? The Afke Lehecha, when he picked up this wallet, where did he take it? He took it out of the house of the Bailiv, and that makes him into a Ganov. And to be more specific, he dragged it out of the house of the Bailiv. Idi Afke Lehecha. Oh, now here we have a very interesting halach. As we said over and over again, a ganav is chayav because he made a kinyan. And the question is, can I make a kinyan on your object in Rishus HaRavim? So those are sugyas in Bav Metzia. And the maskon of the sugya is that you cannot be kona an object, you cannot acquire ownership on an object in Rishus HaRavim. And again, our goal in this brisa is to accomplish both a chiyuv gneva through kinyan and a chiyuv shabbos through maleches hotzah, that he took it from one rishus and it landed in another rishus. So the Gemara says the following: what's going on over here? Idi afki rishus haravim, if he took it out into rishus haravim, iser shabbos iko. I agree with you that he violates the iser shabbos because he took it from rishus hayofim to rishus haravim. But iser gneva leka, because there's no kinyan when you take something into rishus haravim. In order to be konas something, you have to take it into your private ownership, your private domain. And Merle later on is going to explain that that's a machlokus between Rav Acha and Ravina. Our sugya here reflects the shita Rav Acha, that you can't make a kinyan mashicha when you drag something into a rishus harab. Because again, the whole idea of a kinyan is to demonstrate ownership. You don't demonstrate ownership by taking something into a public domain. It's not your private property. So now we go to the next possible scenario. Elo what? We're going to have to say the afke rishus hayachid. It must be that the God have took it out into his own private property. So let's say, for example, he has a chotzer, he has some sort of a fenced-off yard that's next door to the baile. Let's say, so the baile, let's say, if you're two neighbors, and you have just a fence between your yard and his yard, as soon as you drag it out of his yard into your yard, at that moment, you make a Kenyan Gneva, because you took it into, you had a Mashiach into Rishus HaYochid, into Rishus HaGana. Says the Gemara, Issa Gneva Ika, but Issa Shabbos Lecha. Okay, fine, you can check off the box of Issa Gneva, he has a Kenyan here, when he drags it into his Chotzer, but Issa Shabbos Lecha.
Wait, because, it's not Hotzah, I want to go from Rishus.
Yeah, I was just about to say, because the Melechus Hotzah is only violated when you take something from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa. But from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid, one private entity to another private entity, is not a violation of Melechus Hotzah. Now keep in mind, Chaim, I know you're nervous about this because you're Baki and Hilchus Eruvin. If you and I have contiguous chatzeros, your Rishus HaYochid and your chatzer, my next door and yours, I'm not allowed to carry from your Rishus HaYochid into my Rishus HaYochid, but that's only Durabbanon.
I didn't actually have any hope it would be a mutter.
Right. Well, no, it will be mutter. It will be mutter. But on one condition, you have to make an eruv.
Yeah.
It's called a ruve chatzeros. So we make an eruv, and let's say we put down food, and it's going to become a common chatzer based on the food that was takon of Shlomo Amela, and that's called a ruve chatzeros. So that's on a drabana level. But we're talking on a doraisa level here, because the raisa says he's chayav for Shabbos. And he's chai for Shabbos, and it knocks off a chiyuv mama. And why is that so? If he brings it into his chotzer from one chotzer to another, he has not violated melechus hotzah. Lo tzricha di afke litzi de rishus haramim. And as I said to you before, we're learning like eight plot in Maseches the Shabbos here in one omelet here. You know, the definitions of Rishus HaRab and Rishus HaYochid are a little bit blurry. You know, there's a gray area. There's a gray area in the middle. It's kind of ambiguous. What happens is the following. If you're a homeowner and your home or your chotzer borders on Rishus HaRab, you're very nervous about people who are carrying things and walking and pushing their carts in the public marketplace. And what they do is they inevitably go so close to your chotzer, sometimes even entering into your chotzer, and they damage things. So what you want to do is you want to set up some sort of protection. So what you do there is you put all sorts of stones or michsholim, you know, all sorts of things that might trip up people. Here they have, you know, pegs. Have you ever seen them? What do they call them?
Hedges.
No, I don't mean hedges. Have you ever seen, I have it every day when I try to park my car, that the
posts.
Posts are called posts.
Yeah, you know, posts in the ground.
You know, those metal posts, you know, they're gray with little round things around them, you know. So they put up these posts to keep people from coming too close to their homes, to their private homes. You'll see this in the West, all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's called Sidei Rishus HaRab. Now watch what happens. Sidei Rishus HaRab means it's off to the side, and technically it's part of the Rishus HaRab. And legally, the rabbim are allowed to have access to that place. You know, the fact that this guy puts up his hedges or his stones, that doesn't mean he can abscond, he can acquire ownership on the Rishus HaRab. This is a public area. But nobody goes in there, because as soon as you go in there with your wagon, you know, you're going to bang up against whatever it is that you're going to bang up against. So people don't generally use that area. Now, the Gemara wants to know the following. What's the status of Tzidei Rishus HaRab? And this is a twofold question. Number one, what's its status as far as Kenyan is concerned? Can the Ganav acquire ownership by taking it from the Chotzer of the Baal Bais and dragging it out into the Tzidei Rishus HaRab, right in front of the Chotzer? And number two is the status of Tzidur Shesarabim and Shesarabim as far as Achiv Shabbos is concerned. So if we're going to make two premises, if we're going to grant you two premises, then everything fits in this price. Hayamagar V'yotze means he was dragging it from the chotzer of his friend. He has not yet made a Kinyan Akbar. He took it out into, in inverted commas, a Rishus HaRabim. It's a knapper Rishus HaRabim. It's not a real Rishus HaRabim, but it's like a Rishus. I mean, nobody goes in there because it's a, you know, you don't want to get caught up. You know, if you, the spoke of your wheel gets caught up in a stone, and you're in deep trouble. You know, puncturia is going to cost you 400 shekel to replace the tzmig, right? But nevertheless, technically, it's Rishus HaRabim. So if I view it as Rishus HaRabim, then perhaps I can say the following: it's Rishus HaRabim Sai Legave Kinyan and Sai Legave Meleches Hotzah. Therefore, simultaneous as soon as he takes the kiz out of the Rishus HaYachid, the Chotzer of the Nigma, and he brings it out into the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, at that moment he's Chayav. When I say chayv, I mean to say he's chayv for Meleches Hotzah, insofar as Tzidei Rishus HaRabim is Rishus HaRabim. He should be chayv for Gneiva because he made a kinyan at that point. He took it out into a private area. Why is it a private area? I just finished telling you it's Rishus HaRabim. The answer is considered private area because the homeowner sort of expands his control over the area to include that area. So if that be the case, it's still private property. Ukiman. Well, that would have to reflect one particular sheet in a gigantic machlokus about the status of Tzidei Rishus HaRabim Kirabi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer says Tzidei Rishus HaRabim Kirshus HaRabim Dom. There are people who, if need be, will go into Tzidei Rishus HaRabim while they're walking down the main path. They'll push themselves into Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. Well, if that be the case, then Iser Shabbos Ika, Iser Gneva Leka. Why? You violate Meleches Shabbos because, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the status of Tzidei Rishus HaRabim is identical to that of Rishus HaRabim, so you took it from Rishus HaYochanan into Rishus HaRabim. But as far as the Issa Gneiva is concerned, well, if this is considered Rishus HaRabim because the Rabbim do in fact have rights and implement those rights to use, if need be, that area, then you haven't achieved the Kinyan. So how can you tell me it's chayv for Gneiva? And then we're going to apply the principle of Kibbutz Rabbinay. There's no chayv for Gneiva here. He never took it into Rishus HaYochid. He took it into Rishus HaRabim. V'inkir Rabbanan, the Amri, they hold against Rabbi Eliezer that Tzidei Rishus HaRabim lavkir Rishus HaRabim domi. That the status of Tzidei Rishus HaRabim is that of what we call a caramelist, which means you're not allowed to carry in that area because of a Rabbanan, but on a deraisal level, it's not a Rishus HaRabim, it's private property. Nobody goes there, nobody uses that area. Rishus HaRabim has to be convenient. It has to be accessible. And this is not an accessible area. No, if that be the case, then Iser Gneiva Ika, then we can view the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim as a private property. And if it's a private property, then he's Chayav for Gneiva. But Iser Shabbos Leka, he hasn't violated Rishus HaRabim, he never took it into Rishus HaRabim because the Rabbanan hold that Tzidei Rishus HaRabim lavka Rishus HaRabim domi. Now what the Gemara is doing here is what I call a brisker shnei dinin, mamish, two different dinin. We call it the theory of relativity, Einstein's theory of relativity. The Gemara says the following: V'chi amar Rabbi Eliezer tzidei rishus harabim kirshus harabim dom yani v'ilinyin chiva d'shabbos. When Rabbi Eliezer identifies tzidei rishus harabim as rishus harabim, that's only as far as Shabbos is concerned. And we're going to now have to explain why, as far as Shabbos is concerned, does it have a status of Rishus HaRabim? The Zimnin, the Dachi Rabim, on certain occasions, Dachi, they push the Rabim, the people in the Ayla Lahasa. In other words, imagine if it's Times Square on midnight, you know, it's Times Square on midnight of January 1st, right? So the place is flooded with people, so there's no room in the Rishus HaRabim. How do you get by? You sneak into the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, you know, and you hop over all over the rocks and the stone, all that stuff. So since it does have use, and we said it really belongs legally to the Rabim, no one's allowed to make his private ownership on it. Therefore, we see it as an extension of Rishus HaRabim. And that's bad news for Meleches Shabbos, because as soon as he takes it out of the house or out of the chutzah and he brings it into Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, he's going to be chayav for Meleches Hotzah. So now you can tell me, well, if there's a chiv hotza because it's just a rabbi, then it cannot be a kinyan of gneiva because there's no kinyan in rishus rabbin. Oh, nein, the svei dinim, another din. Le'inyan mikna relative to the laws of kinyanim kani, it's considered like private property. My taima the lo shchichi rabbin. So in order to set up an extension of your rishus rabbin for Shabbos, all you need is that zivnin. Sometimes, on occasion, people go in there, they use it, the rabbin uses it. But as far as making it into rishus rabbin and exclude the possibility of a kinyan, so at that point we're going to say that why is rishus rabbin excluded for a kinyan? Because everybody's there. You know, you haven't proven anything by taking it into that area. Well, I have news for you. Here's an area where people don't usually go in there. Nobody has access to this area. I mean, again, you know, occasionally if it's really dachuk, you know, it's midnight on New Year's Eve, you know, you gotta eat. But other than that, nobody uses this area. They don't want to go in there with the agalah and break the wheel and so forth and so on. So if ain't rabbi mitzuyim sham, then that's enough to establish a kinyan, because as far as kinyan is concerned, all I have to do is demonstrate ownership. And I can demonstrate ownership by taking it out into a place where nobody goes there. Now, in halachic terms, just for your own erudition, this is called the language of Shas, simta. Are you familiar with that word? Simta. Simta is a classic area where, although it's part of rishus rabbim, it's off on the side, like an alleyway. Do you know what I mean? Like sometimes if you go in certain areas, like in downtown Yerushalayim, that you'll see on certain streets that you can go into, you know, move off the main road into a little bit of an alley.
It's an alleyway. It's a description for a semi, for although public.
Right.
Nonetheless, the people,
public, but not totally
the people
public.
That get, like, live there, go through there.
Right.
Is it,
so on the sugya of simta is an entire sugya mesetta baba basra. He tells you here in the mesifta you should open up to baba basra daf ayin vav amid beis. I don't have the time to do this, but that's a sugya called simta. Now, if let's say two people are in rishus harabin and one wants to bequeath something to his friend, so his friend wants to make a kinyan on it, and they're in rishus harabim, so how you can effectuate a kinyan meshicha or hakbar rishus harabim doesn't lend itself to kinyan. So the answer is he can take it into a simta. Why? Because people don't usually go into the simta. It's a little bit of a private area, and that's enough to demonstrate bialos. So again, in Hilcha Shabbos you have technical requirements and definitions of rishus harabim. If people go in there and it's part of the rishus harabim, even though they don't frequent there, but they occasionally go in there and it's all an extension of rishus harabim, it's owned by the rabbim, it's public property, that defines it as a rishus harabim. In Hilchas Kinyonim, if I'm taking it to an area where everybody's there, you know, it's mamish in the public eye, there's no privacy whatsoever, that's not a kinyan. I haven't demonstrated it's mine. But if I go out of my way and I drag it into a simta, a place where people don't usually go, it's like a hidden alleyway, you know, dark alleyway, a dangerous place, right? So if I do that, then I'm demonstrating that it's mine. I took it out of a rishus harabim, I brought it into a simta. And that's what the Gemara is saying.
There's a problem with that. The show kids were shooting robbing people making kinyanim all the time.
So that's a different kind of kinyan. That's a kinyan mos. Now, it's true that the Rabbanan are not happy with the kinyan mos when you pay for something. But even though the Rabbanan required another kinyan, there is a way of doing a kinyan in the rishus harabim, and that's called a chatzer. So if you pay money and you put it into your chatzah, let's say you put it into a bag, then that might be enough. But here we're talking about a ganav. So in the case of a ganav, if he doesn't have dovim, he's not paying for it, right? He's stealing it. So the only thing he can achieve is what's called a kinyan meshicha. And there's no such thing as a kinyan meshicha in rishus harabim. But the Gemara is pointing out that this definition of rishus harabim is not identical to the definition of rishus harabim in Hilchas Shabbos. In Hilchas Shabbos, as long as it's part of the rabbim and people go there on occasion, that's enough to consider it as just a rabbim. But that's not enough to be mafkia the kinyan meshicha in the case of kinyanim, because as far as kinyanim is concerned, if it's a little bit of a private area, people don't go there, that's sufficient. It's almost as if, in the case of Shabbos, we started with Rishus HaRabim, and now we want to extend the Rishus HaRabim. So the standards and the requirements to extend it are very low, because we started with Rishus HaRabim. You want to cut it off from Rishus HaRabim, because people don't go there? No, some people do go there, and therefore it's an extension of Rishus HaRabim. In the case of Kinyanim, what you want to do is, you want to tell me that you cannot make a Kinyan. So you're coming to Mafkia to undermine the Kinyan, therefore you want to say it's a public area. Well, you know what? It's not such a public area. Why? Because people don't usually go there. Lo shchichi be'rabim. People don't usually go there. It's not a public. So again, you want to come with your Kinyan and say, well, this is not a valid Kinyan. Why? Because you did it in a public area. The answer is it's not so public, and therefore your action of demonstrating bailus is meaningful. That's what the Gemara established. So again, you know, if you were ever teaching a class in the Brisker methodology, this would be a great example of a Talmudic Brisker methodology. Two definitions of Rishus HaRabim. What is Rishus HaRabim? The answer is it's relative. If you're dealing with Hilchos Shabbos, that's one standard of definition. And for that, all you need is Zimnin the Dachki Be'Rabim, the Eilei Lahasim. If you're dealing with your definition of Rishus HaRabim, to be Mafkia Kinyonim, then we say the following: if it's Lo Shchicha Be'Rabim, people don't usually go there, it's not a Rishus HaRabim, and it's like a simta, it's like a private area, and therefore you can accomplish your kinyan. So what happens is, the very moment that he drags out this wallet into Sidei Rishus HaRabim, at that moment he accomplishes two goals. He's chayav from Melechus HaMasah, and he's achieved a kinyan that generates a chiyuv tashlumei gneva. And why is that a kinyan? Because it's considered like a private area. Why is he violating Melechus HaMasah? It's still considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. It's Dachi Be'Rabim. And therefore we're going to apply the principle of Kim Lev Nai. All this is indicated by the Seifa of the Brisa of Rabbi Barbaya. I mean, you're really reading tons into a Brisa. It eventually says, oh, you're Megayar V'Yotzeh, Megayar V'Yotzeh Pata. And now we're saying it's a case where he took it into Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. Rav Ashi has a different way of interpreting the scenario of this price. Again, our question was, where is he taking this kiss? If he's taking it to Rishus HaRabim, then he's chay for Shabbos, but he's bought it for, there's no gneiva, there's no kinyan. And if he's taking it to his own private property, then there's no melechus Shabbos, there may be a kinyan. So Rav Ashi Omar, he says the following. When he drags the wallet from the Rishus HaBailav into Rishus HaRabim, you don't have to talk about Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, but rather Kagon Shet Tzireif Yodah Lamata Mishlosha the Kibla. So this man is got two hands, right? So he's working with two hands. With one hand, he drags the wallet. Okay, so now he's dragging it below three tefachim. If it's below three tefachim, then it's just 1 second. He's dragging it. Oh, so he's dragging it in Rishus HaRabim and Sireif Yado Lamata Mishlosha Tefachim. What he does is the following: he puts his hand, his empty hand, below three tefachim. So it's really close to the carpet, to the ground. So with one hand he drags the kiss, he takes it out of the base phylum, and at the moment, the same split second, that he removes it from he crosses the threshold. Instead of crossing the threshold, what he does is he drops the wallet into his second hand. He catches it in his second hand. His second hand, which now receives the wallet, is in Rishus HaRabim. And why is it in Rishus HaRabim? Because Rishus HaRabim is anywhere that's somach lekarka. In other words, if it's below three tefachim, that's considered karka. And if that's considered karka, then basically he took it into Rishus HaRabim. Oh, so what happens now? We're going to have an absolute simultaneity, says Rav Ashi, between the chiv ganov and the chiv shabbos. Why? Because what was your problem? What was your kasha? If he takes it into Rishus HaRabim, then how could that be considered a kinyan? The answer is because he has it in his hand. And if he has it in his hand, then he can be koneh it in his hand. On the other hand, you're telling me he's chayv for Shabbos. So if he's chayv for Shabbos, he has to have it in Rishus HaRav. The answer is because his hand is below three tefachim. So it's very interesting. He lifts up the wallet and then drops it into his hand from one hand to the other. I'll read to you the Hebrew. He says the following: Masha sha'alta, what you asked, imken eich konas agneva. In other words, he makes a kinyan in his yacht. If he made a kinyan on the ground by dragging it, ain't a finale. That would not qualify as a kinyan because there's no kinyan rishus harav. But if he made a kinyan into his hand, is then that's called a kinyan. On the other hand, as far as dinei rishus harav is concerned, anything lamata mishlosha is considered rishus harav. So at that split second that he catches it in his second hand, he accomplishes two goals. Number one, he implements a maisa gneva as a kinyan, and at the same time he violates the Shabbos. And now the Gemara adds Rava, Kiddur Rava. Ti Omar Rava, Yado Shal Onom Chashuvalo Kimokom Arval Arva. In other words, you can be Kone Chayfetz by putting it into your hand. At the same time, you can also violate Malachas Otsah by placing it down in your hand. Normally, to violate Malachas Otsah, you have to put it on the ground. That's called a Mokom Anoch, it's Gabi Al Gabi Kark. But the hand of a person has a unique status, and it's considered not like the top of a hydrant, you know, but rather it's considered like the ground itself. It's very secure because he can grab it with his hand as he clutches his hand, and that's considered as if it was a makom hanocha. So we'll stop here. If anybody has a pencil that I can borrow, thanks, I'll give it right back. Just to make a note of where we got up to, and I wish everyone a great day. Let's make sure that we shut the air conditioning and the lights. And
do you know how to call Eric? He didn't